All right, good morning. We're going to reconvene this morning's meeting of the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Right now, we're on item number three, discussion and possible action, the approval of today's agenda, May the 19th, 2014. Does anyone have any comments on today's agenda? Okay, that being said, call for motion to approve.
Second.
Moved in second to approve today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Next up is the consent agenda. Is there anything on the consent agenda, gentlemen?
Most time approved.
Second to motion.
Been moved in second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And motion carries. At this time, we're going to go ahead and move on to item nine, discussion and possible action. Excuse me, discussion, no action, no public comment on committee and staff reports. Marilyn Miller, would you like to start us off this morning?
Would I like to start it off before I'm just really started? Just want to ready to start.
You don't have to. I can put somebody in your place.
You're replaceable.
Anyway, our apologies to Mrs. Miller for coming up early.
That's all right.
Shampoo there.
I had a cup of coffee in your fine establishment. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Everything seems to be running pretty smooth down there. I don't have any real problems coming up. We're thinking of inviting all of the staff, the heads of the staff up here again for a luncheon, probably in July. We'll let you get your budgets done first, and then the end of July, asking all of you, whoever would like to come to luncheon down there on the fourth Tuesday of July, we'd love to have you. So that was the message I had today. So I'm extending that invitation to all of the heads of the departments that would like to come. I will be sending up a formal invitation. I'm going to send it to Pat. I'm going to email it to him or mail it to him, either way, and then he can distribute it and take orders. We'll let you know what's on the agenda for lunch that day and everything, anyone that would like to show up. So that's my report for today. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Judge Harrington? Okay, great. Dave Ballard?
I have none.
Danny Dotson? Service?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Just three quick announcements here. One, Thursday, the VCTC met, and we did approve our final budget, so it'll be submitted with the fact of, with Jesse when the, she submits the rest of Story County's information to the Department of Taxation. This weekend, Memorial Day Parade on Saturday. Looks like Karen's got a great lineup, as she always does, so we should expect a pretty good turnout. That also coincides with B&T starting up their long line run from Carson City, which I hear is sold out for Saturday. Next, the following weekend will be the Reno Tahoe Odyssey. In the past, there's been a little bit of congestion out there on at the Highlands entrance. Just want to let the commission know and the public know that that has been worked out. The exchange point will be past the Highlands Gate. They will have some traffic control folks there, along with some equipment to help ease the transition. But in my opinion and the sheriff's opinion, there should be no congestion there, or at least very limited congestion to get folks in and out. So looking forward to a couple of big weekends as we jump into summer.
Okay. Perfect. Questions for Danny? Great. Thank you, Danny. Joe Curtis, Emergency Management.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I have to say this morning is that I'm really, really pleased with this exercise that we effected on Saturday, the 17th of May, with the Highlands evacuation exercise. So an exercise that we have been planning for better than a year and a half, and we just had tremendous support from all the outside agencies that we were involved with, from the very earliest of the planning stages, all the way up through the exercise itself. And we had the participation from the county organizations was terrific as well. We were looking to test two things, or not test, but to look at two things. One was the ability of our local agencies to make notification of Highlands residents that there was a evacuation process based on a scenario that was set on a wildland fire, which theoretically would have started on Friday evening and now had progressed up to a point in time that was the Saturday morning, and the fire department had decided that it was of a sufficient threat to the Highlands that we should begin evacuation of the Highlands area. So with that in mind, of course, we had pre-staged outside agencies, which was Washoe County Sheriff's Search and Rescue and Carson City Sheriff's Search and Rescue personnel that were participating. And there were close to probably 80 people from those two organizations alone that came up to assist us. So at that point, they were placed out into the field to begin these notifications door to door. And over the hour and a half that they did that, they were able to notify what we figure is somewhere around 80 to maybe 85% of the residents by a knock on the door. At that same time, as of at 9:15 in the morning, we'd placed a code red reverse 911 phone call to the residents of the Highlands, again advising them of this evacuation exercise. Of those calls, of the first set of calls at 9:15, there were 606 calls made, and 394 residents were reached at that time, and that was a 65% contact factor. The second call that was made to the Highlands representatives, or to the residents, was made at 10:15 approximately, and there were 618 calls that went out on that one. 401 of those were actually reached people. The event was directed to determine could we reach sufficient people, and we wanted to, if we could get 100 people from the Highlands to respond to the middle school as if they were evacuees and sign in, that we would meet our initial goal of being able to notify people. Well, I'm real tickled to say that we actually had approximately 150 people from the Highlands actually check in to the shelter at the middle school gymnasium. In addition to that, there were approximately 22 other Highlands residents that were actually participants in the event, either involved in the sheriff's cert operation or involved in the volunteer fire department or in some other things. And with the Red Cross, they actually had two volunteers with the Red Cross that were here that were not from the Highlands but actually lived in Mark Twain. So I thought that was kind of comforting to know that we've got a couple of Red Crossers in the Twain area. So we had a tremendous, we're looking at 170, 180 people, because I also found out that there was probably another 20 people from the Highlands that kind of evacuated because they were at the baseball games, at the regional high school baseball games. So they were here in town as well, just didn't get checked in. And the other section of the thing that we were checking on or looking to see how it functioned was the ability to set up a shelter. And there's two factors that we have to be concerned with shelters, actually three factors. One is we need to be able to set up a shelter that can house a certain number of people. And secondly, that they have the resources that are there. And that was through the cooperation of the Red Cross. and they set up this mock shelter in middle school gymnasium, so that was very successful. They also provided people to check personnel in, and they had about 15 people there to assist with their aspects of it. They also brought in what they call their emergency response vehicle, which is basically refreshments vehicle. Water, Gatorade, all this, you know, cookies and this sort of thing. The one thing we forgot and we missed, though, on that whole thing was we didn't have coffee. So that created a little bit of a problem. We needed to go get some. Jerry went up and got a big pot of coffee for us all. So it was very, very effective, very well. We had numerous comments that, you know, we had very few negative comments, and they weren't really negative. They were more suggestions. What about this? Or did you do this? Or should you have done that? Or this sort of thing. I wouldn't really even classify them as negative. I can only remember maybe one person that had any kind of negative that I would classify. But they're overwhelmingly positive comments about it. We did after the event was over, we did what we call a hot wash or a briefing after the end of the exercise. Where we went to all of the sections and spoke with each of the section leaders that were involved in it and got some tremendous suggestions, comments, concerns, and that sort of thing. We ran into a few little glitches during the day, but none of them were glitches that affected the quality of the event at all. They were little tiny things. But overall, it was an outstanding success, and it was an outstanding success because of the participation of the likes of our county departments, from Public Works to the Sheriff's Department to our own folks in Emergency Management, Sherry and I's involvement, and let's see, where we had Commissioner Chauvangan was there the whole day. Working, not just observing, but working. Commissioner McBride was there, taking part in the thing, learning how to tweet, and so we had a very effective thing. And so we're already, people are going, "Oh, we're going to do this again? You know, what about another one of these?" Well, we're already starting to think about doing another one now, because it's so important. Because our concern is the Highlands is number two next to the Lake Tahoe Basin for fear of catastrophic wildland fire. And so that's our concern for those folks, and that was the impetus for doing this exercise and getting these people educated to the need for being prepared to evacuate. With those thoughts in mind, any particular questions, thoughts, comments?
No. The only thing I could say is I thought it went off really well. Joe's indicated, I was expecting to see a little more confusion, you know. I don't know where I expected to see it, but
I was too.
it just seems like it was just very, very, very smooth. That's pretty unusual when you pull off a big exercise like that.
That's true. It is. I think it's
that one little thing that you said, "Oh God, we forgot." Yeah.
That's true. Is the cooperation between the county agencies and the outside agencies we're working with is what makes it all work well.
Yeah, and I think everyone had a good time with it too. You know, they stayed around the shelter for a while, let the kids play, and
the other aspect I didn't mention was the animal section, and we have to provide sheltering for small animals, dogs, cats, and so forth.
Yeah.
And Sheriff's Office provided dog licensing for free too while they're there, and they did 41 licenses, probably about the same in terms of vaccinations, and they did microchipping for the dogs and so forth. This was the Washoe County Animal Services Department. And they were bought into this from day one. And they had a big motorhome, mobile veterinary thing, and three pop-up tents, and they staffed them all. They probably brought 15 or 20 people up as well to participate. So it all really, Red Cross was phenomenal. We got a great working relationship with them as well. So that's about it. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Under Public Works, Mike Devin.
I was going to give my 3 minutes to Joe, but he got me anyway. Just a couple of informational things. We've completed the crack sealing project at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. So we have a gentleman out there sweeping as I speak. It's our goal to have all the roads restriped by the end of the month. So you'll see us out there working. We've moved on to the swimming pool in anticipation of getting that open here mid-June. We'll be doing a little facelift, if you will, down there, doing some repainting on the interior, exterior, and installing new lights in the existing building down there. So then the third thing I'd like to mention is I received notice this morning from Gus Nunez, who's the administrator of the State of Nevada Department of Public Works, that the raw water rate that is charged through the Story County water system will increase by approximately 65% beginning July 1st. So it's a substantial increase. I mentioned it this morning in our early morning staff meeting. The timing couldn't be worse because, of course, today is final budget hearing. What it does, I ran some quick numbers. It affects us to the tune of about $24,000 in the negative. So short of, you know, increasing rates a little bit more in June, we'll have to make it up from reserves and or opening ending fund balance for this fiscal year. They can do this per our old contract, which was dated 2002, on a 30-day written notice to the county. Typically, past this has been done in January, so it gives us a little bit of time to plan, if you will. They suggest that the increase is due to maintenance that needs to happen, and, you know, I'm all for, you know, making sure that the quality of the water that we receive is pristine, naturally, as it is our only source, but just a little bit concerned with the timing. So I've discussed this with a gentleman from Carson City Public Works, and they're not happy as well, because it affects them as well in their budget. So we'll be doing, we'll be making some contacts to see, you know, maybe they'll back off, maybe they'll cut it in half. I don't know at this point. Like I say, I just received this morning, so I just wanted to bring it to your attention. I'll be working with both Pat and Hugh to see where we go from here. So about all I got for you.
Thank you, Mike. Fire Department business, Chief Ames.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, our old board members. Just one quick update. All of our fuel projects have wrapped up for the year with the exception of Virginia City. Virginia City is a little bit behind, about 7 days or so, because of trainings between the crews. So you'll see crews hit and miss. We didn't have them but 2 days last week, and we'll have them about the same this week. So we'll wrap that up in the next 7 to 10 days. If everything goes according to plan, we're done for the year. That's the only update I had, unless you have questions. And just one quick thing. Joe did a great job with that drill this year. I'm glad we could help him out with some of that grant management on our side to that fuels grant as well. Just as a reminder, that fuels grant paid for the outside contractor. But Joe Sherry, he hit everybody, but especially Joe. I mean, he was dedicated, committed. That's a big, big event to pull off. It's a huge event. So great job, Joe. Great job, Sherry. And if you don't have any questions for me, I'll grab my seat.
Great. Thank you. What's community chest have for us today, Sean?
Good morning. I know you have a budget hearing, so I'll be real quick. By now, many of you probably received a letter from Hawk stating the facility is going to be closing. despite my best efforts as a board member, I could not seem to avert the process. So as a result, I've asked Pat to award county funding in the amount of $25,000 to seek community health outreach services for Story County so that we can continue to offer services here. 1-2 days a week, whatever we'll be able to afford. We'll try to subcontract with Garza City Health Department or some other provider that has their own liability. We will also reconfigure the existing HOC facility without changing any of the walls or doing any construction. We'll try to co-locate counseling, case management, and healthcare, have a one-stop shop there. And then the other half, we'll try to put the rest of the adult collection and the young adult collection in the library, split it up so that it can be a multi-use facility, but that will enable us to put the books, get the books out of the storage and into public access as well, because the slab obviously will hold the weight. So I'm not pleased. I worked hard. Sometimes you do things for the right reasons, and sometimes you do things because they're right, and I think this decision was the former. I think we could have averted this, but we got to move on and do the best we can. I'm going to try to make lemonade out of this, and I think in the end we'll have a strong multi-use facility, and once we can build a second phase, it will continue to be so. So you know, that's the best we could do given the cards we're dealt. And I want to echo earlier thanks to Pat for his help and also for honoring the library staff, Pam and Chris, last week at the meeting. Any questions?
What was the reason that HOC moved out of there?
Well, ostensibly it was lack of use. So they had roughly 1,000 client visits a year, and they can use their PA to see 2.5 people a day at the Wells Clinic or other an hour at the Wells Clinic or other clinics, and up here they're seeing sometimes 3, 4, 5, 6 people a day. However, the FQHC grant pays for that facility in total, so they weren't losing money, but they are facing an extreme Medicaid increase in enrollment from 8 to 10,000 people, and they have a huge waiting list as a result of that. And this is due to the health care law passing. So they want to put the PA down at the other clinics to serve more patients and offset that overwhelming need. They will also make about $250,000 a day versus the money they're getting from the FQHC, which is $175,000. As I said, I think this could have been resolved in other ways. We tried to make multiple efforts to change the outreach and the promotion of the clinic. Some, but not enough, was done to address that. And I didn't have direct control over how the shop got managed. And I was only a board member, and I was only a board member because they have the clinic here. We did an awful lot to get that clinic here that will never be shared in public, and we also continued to build the center despite multiple interruptions in finance and commitments to finance from HOC. And they're aware of that, at least the directors are. You know, sometimes you do the best you can and things don't work out. I hope if we do something down the road with HOC again, or HOC expands their services to Silver Springs and Central and Western Lyon County, where there's an even greater need, we don't make the same mistakes. The outreach just was not sufficient. I mean, that's as simple as I can put it. There was 100 things that could have been done differently and should have been done differently. I think there's ample blame to go around. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. It was difficult, and it was difficult for me personally. That's as kind as I can be in a public meeting.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I want to definitely applaud Sean. I've watched him work hard to bring this group here, to house them, to get them up and functional. And while it is a huge loss, Sean and Deb are the kind of people that take that challenge and immediately went to work on finding other solutions. I could share with you probably 50 emails between Sean, Deb, the state health people at a very high level that have been working behind the scenes the last 4 to 5 weeks as interim solutions. And I also know that Sean
was making personal appeals to both the HOC board and the HOC director. So we have health care in Story County because of Sean and Deb, and they deserve our deepest thanks for that.
Thank you, Pat. Any other comments or questions? I hope to have the new health care provider up after July 10 when HOC officially pulls out. We will make a public announcement either in the media, or I'll do it here in one of the meetings as soon as we have it confirmed. There is one final board meeting next Thursday where I will make a last plea, but as I say, I think it's a fait accompli. It's done. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. Thanks for all your efforts.
You're welcome.
All right. Next up, Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Antonero.
Nothing new, just to touch on a couple of things that have already been brought up. Thanks to Joe and Sherry for all their hard work in the drill. I think it was a great success. Partners from all around the region coming to help. I do want to specifically speak about the CERT team. We've got about 50 members right now. We had a great turnout from them, about 25 of them from all across the county. Many from the Highlands itself showed up and participated, so that was their first big event, joining both sides of the team. And I think it went really well, quite enlightening, actually. Got some places that we can work on things, improve, but overall, huge success. Other thing I want to touch on is what Sean was just talking about. The loss of the Hawk Clinic is going to have a negative impact on our inmate medical services. Already talking with Sean as far as once we get the new provider up, trying to get something in place for that so we can keep those costs down and provide the services for the inmates that we need to. So just something to be aware of on the horizon. Thank you.
Great, thanks. Let's see, since we've been graced with Dean's re-arrival in here, maybe we have something from community development today.
Good morning, Commissioner. Thank you, Steve.
Just want to let you know that this Thursday at 11 o'clock at the Peppermill, we have an announcement of another company that we're building a 703,000 that will create 1,000 jobs. Everybody's invited to that. Chairman, you're speaking at that, and we have that set up. We are continually busy with new projects. Which is good, even new houses. I think last week we got 3 brand new houses coming in from the Highlands. So even locally, it's starting to pick up with the housing market. We're doing projects, working on getting the plans done to stay up with them. The sewer plant, that bid was let out, and we're doing ongoing meetings to get that going forward so they can start on that sewer plant. Working out a few more things with Mike and Sherry, but then they want to start grading on the sewer plan as soon as they can possibly get going on that. Shannon's working with Sherry and Denny on the Golden Hill Depot. There'll be some more work and working with Comstock Mines Historical Organization, get some labor and work down there. Mike's guys is doing some electrical work. Hopefully we can get that electrical work finished up, and then they're going to start. We already had the boards. Shannon's got the boards bought and everything, and they're going to stain them and get them prepared so they can redo the siding on that project also. Besides that, we're just pleasantly busy. Oh, one big announcement today and tomorrow. All the new business license renewals will go out, be mailed from my office. Stacy's worked hard this weekend. Over 1,000 will go out. I will also, in every one of those that owe back taxes, there's a notice there that their business license will not be renewed if there's back taxes owed to the assessor's office for personal property or if the building owner owns back taxes. So it doesn't matter if there's a lessee in there, if the building owner owns back taxes on that, we will not renew the business license until those back taxes are paid in full, or they make an agreement with Vanessa and a payment plan with Vanessa, and Vanessa gives it into us in writing that they have contacted her. So in the next couple of weeks, I'll be the tax collector. So I will be out there trying to collect some major back taxes from different companies and small taxes also. I also asked Denny to give me a list of any hotels, motels that owe back, was it SEC taxes, or owes his department or organization taxes, and that we will not issue a renew a business license until those are cleared up with the VCTCCA. So I'll get a list from him today, and there's a few businesses in town that owe not only taxes, but owe some other things back, room taxes. So any questions?
Right, did we get on the wastewater treatment plant? Have we received final approval from USDA Rural Development on this?
We got the plans and the permits. John called me, the engineer. Did he get up here and meet with your guys? He was trying to go through the water plan also. Okay, John with USDA. John Nelson, yeah.
Why are we concerned with the water?
He just called me and said.
So, yeah, we're working through it. The pre-construction conference is Wednesday.
Right.
Because they can't start construction until we get the final approval, correct?
Right.
We pass this on contingency until we get final approval from Rural Development.
Right. So like Mike said, Wednesday's a pre-construction meeting with everybody, and hopefully get those.
There's a couple of little small glitches that we're just taking care of. Sherry's been working through that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So who's our engineer? FAR engineer has requested me to get the plans done as soon as possible, so when they're ready, the full permit. We will, it's a $4.5 million project, so we will show that there's a fee there that we'll call it in-kind cash match, so if they need it for anything else, we will not actually take any money from anybody, but we'll show that it's actually cash match that would have came to the county that's going out, so if they need it for any other kind of grants or anything else to match. So, but we will not take the fee from the contractor, but we will show a fee on the permit. Okay? And we typically do that on all county-owned projects. And we did that also on the solar project down at St. Mary's. Okay? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. County Manager Whitten?
Yes, several things. You'll notice in the Comstock Chronicle this week and next week, as well as currently on our website, we are preparing to auction off three of the four houses to our south. That auction is scheduled to happen on Saturday, May 31st at 10 a.m. If anybody needs any of the conditions or terms, they can contact either Vanessa's office or my office as far as what's required. The notices are clearly spelled out in the newspaper also and on the website. For those staff that are here, many of you will remember the last trip out to Lockwood. It was something you never forget, a great company with great people. And I'm going to try for 100% turnout if we can, and would again encourage the commissioners, even though you're out there much more often, we'll post it as a potential quorum so that you can partake as well. So thanks and look forward to July. I want to take a minute and just reflect on some of the results of the great work that our fire department does from time to time. Last year, as you recall, I believe in the late summer, early fall, there was a devastating fire in the Yosemite area called the Rim Fire. I happen to either have the good fortune or the bad fortune of choosing an area right in the middle of a 400 square mile burn. So this morning I asked Chief Ames to refresh my memory as to the resources that we put on that Rim Fire. And we did indeed have a number of crews and a sizable number of crews and equipment down there. The campground I could state at in particular was, I would call, dead center in the burn zone, and it was green and plush because of the work that these guys, our guys from Story County and others do. So my hat's off to you. I got to enjoy 6 days down there thanks to their heroic work. Okay, last on my list is, we got great news this morning. Actually, it really happened Saturday. The Virginia City High School varsity boys team won the regionals. They were hosted right here in Virginia City, which is really cool. So they start their statewide championship quest at 10 a.m. at Pacoli Field in UNR on Thursday. So hopefully many of you will be there. And that's it, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you. District Attorney Maddox?
I have a couple of things. On a positive note, Comstock Mining apparently had some problems with NDEP, and as a result, they were going to have to pay some fees or fines of, I think, around $216,000. There's apparently a program where if they're going to do that, if they can apply the funds to a project that infects the environment, they can pay those funds to that project instead of paying them to the state. So when they found out that program existed, they said, well, we want to do it in Story County. So we're going to get $100,000, I think, for our new street sweeper.
116.
Okay, 116. So as it turns out, we won't have to pay anything. I think between the insurance and that, we're basically going to get a new street sweeper for nothing. And this time, hopefully, we have a fire arrestor on it in case the public works director decides he wants to drive it. Yeah. And then we're also going to get $100,000 for the Story County Water and Sewer Department, the Divide Reservoir, to put a tarp on that, I guess. But I just thought it would be nice to give credit to Comstock Mining that they, you know, when they were asked, they said, well, instead of paying at the NDEP, they can apply it to some program that involves, I guess it has to affect the environment. And for future reference, we probably ought to let all the companies in Story County be aware of that. Maybe we can talk, because it doesn't have to be in the same county where it happens, so maybe we can go down to Carson City and Washoe County and tell them, if you guys, instead of paying a fine to NDP, we'll use it up here in Story County. But we ended up getting, I think, a total of $216,000. The contracts are almost complete, and all we need to do is get a signature from the chairman and from Comstock Mining. The other thing is that because it's been an issue on this on these park funds, and it's come up at a couple of different meetings, and Commissioner Chauvin came in and talked to me about it. I did some research on the interest rate we have to pay, and I think it will be the interest rate set out in NRS 99040, which is it's the prime plus two, I think, going back to 92. And the Business and Industries puts out a prime rate every 6 months, one in January and one in July. So we should be able to figure the interest rate up from that. I come to that conclusion, that number one, in that Bax case that happened at the lake that Dave Thomas had talked about, as a judge, I ordered it that the overpaid taxes had to be reimbursed with interest, and I set the interest at that tax rate that's set out in statutes 99040. And we can't figure out what interest we would have gotten otherwise. And I talked to Vanessa about that, and it would just be a nightmare to even begin to try to do that going all the way back to 1992. So I think just to lay this issue to rest, it's going to be my opinion that the interest rate we have to pay will be 99040 interest rate, which is prime plus two, and it would have to be calculated. And I think Dave Thomas may have already calculated it for us. So I thought just to put that issue to rest, I would announce that here today.
Well, we'll give everybody a good little chunk of money to use on their parks.
And if this is good in the sense that it's not like it's we've been sued and somebody's going to get the money outside the county. It'll go inside the county, the funds anyway. So, does anybody have any questions about any of those? That's all I have.
Great. Thank you. Deputy District Attorney Langer?
No.
Thank you. Special Counsel Morse?
Nothing at this time.
Mr. Gallagher, anything from the Comptroller's Office before we get into the budget?
Not this time, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk?
Just a quick elections update. Close the registration is tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Early voting is going to start on Saturday. It will be held here and in Lockwood, like we've done in the prior years. And then on the Sunny Hills advisory question, we've gotten one application so far that's opposed to the question. That's all I've received. So hopefully we get some more interest in writing that question.
How many do you need? How many people do you need to volunteer?
Three for each side is what we're after.
So you've only got one out of six?
Yeah.
Yep. And that's what's the deadline to write the question?
We need to have it done in July, so I wanted to get on the next agenda before you guys to go ahead and appoint those boards. So we need those applications to come in and get people involved.
Right. And what's the process if nobody applies and you write them, don't you?
I believe it falls to my office, yeah. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, can I chime in one thing?
Yes, right ahead.
We did close outdoor burning as of yesterday, so that season is now done. There is no more outdoor burning until sometime in the fall, presumably when fire conditions. And I happened to, on my way back home yesterday, drive through Reno, and I think it's very timely closing. Looking at the Hunter Lake fire that's raging to the west of Reno, it is the season now, so be careful.
Okay. Did I miss anyone on staff? Okay, did everybody?
On the south side of Reno, up on the mountains there.
All right. We'll move right along to item 10, board comment.
I don't have anything, Joe.
Nothing.
Nothing for you?
Nothing.
All right. All I have is to continue on with this Saturday's evacuation drill in the Highlands. It was, if the biggest snafu was someone forgetting to order the hot coffee, I think we did a pretty good job out there. All department heads should be very proud of all their staff that participated. It was very well run, organized. So, because you never know where we live, anything can happen up here. So. All right, item 11, discussion of possible action. Approve the second reading of liquor license for Phillies, Nevada, located at 420 USA Parkway. Sheriff Jerry.
Not a whole lot to say on this. We've completed the background investigation on the applicants. They are license holders in adjoining counties also. There was nothing that would disqualify them, so we would recommend their approval.
Very good. Anybody have any questions on it?
Nope. Motion to approve it.
Second motion.
Moved and second to approve. Liquor license for Phillies, Nevada. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Did you say aye over there?
Aye.
Okay. Yep. Motion carries. Thank you. Item 12. Discussion and possible action. Approve the second reading of Ordinance 14-255, deleting Story County Code Chapters, etc. Mr. Morse.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for the record, Robert Morris. We're here today on a public hearing on this ordinance 14-255. And it's, as I've been saying, as we've been going through this process, it's adopting international codes, the Northern Nevada amendments to those codes, and more specifically, sections that apply to Story County. Since the first reading, there have been some changes. We're working to continue to improve it. And so I would just like to go through those changes for the sake of the public and the board. And then I would ask that the board, if you are going to adopt it with the amendments that I've discussed this after, or this morning. We deleted a section, and it's on page 11. It's on the specific requirements for construction in Story County. There was a section on accessory dwellings. We have put in a second section in 15.12094. And so just to keep any conflict from occurring between the two, I've taken out this the shorter version. Everybody's agreed that the longer version that's further down the ordinance is the more appropriate one, and so that's been taken out. The next change would be on page 31, and it's appeals from decisions of the planning or the building official. And so it's section 15.08060. Originally it was with five members of the Board of Appeals. After talking it with Mr. Witten and others, we decided that we would make it a three-member board to make it more efficient. And so the language basically is that the board would have three members. One would be a licensed architect, engineer, or a contractor. Another one would be a fire individual, and the third one would be somebody from the public. I think that that's going to make it a more efficient board. It also makes all of those three members have to be independent of the county. They can't work for the county. So it really will be an independent board. And then if there's that's the final decision on matters that would come up based on the building official decisions. So that section has changed. The bottom part of that section used to contain the language about the Planning Commission hearing the matter and then the board. That's been stricken out because of the Board of Appeals. Page 36 is the beginning of three definitions that have been added in. These were in the first they're in the version at the first reading, and so we've just decided that these are the best definitions. Again, it's 15.12094. There was an option that we removed, and so that's taken care of. There's a final change, and it's on page 39. It's section 15.12140, mobile homes. It turns out this was passed in 2000, but it has never been effectively used by the county, and so we've determined that we should just take it out. And that would be the changes that I'd recommend to the board. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
I have a question on the this appeal, the appeals from decisions. This three-person board, would this be a standing board, or would this be a board that would be put together for each individual appeal?
It should be a standing board. I think at the beginning we'll have to set up an agenda item for you to appoint the board members, but hopefully it would just be one of the boards that you would appoint at the beginning of the year in January. I think it's not going to be used a lot. My feeling is that I've been here a couple of years, and there's been one appeal. But I think it's better just to have a standing board because there are time constraints to hearing the appeal. The person that's complaining must do it in 10 days after the decision, and then the board has to hear it within 30 days. So to have sort of an ad hoc committee would make it pretty difficult.
So this would be an annual appointment?
Yes. Okay. Well, it's 2 years, so it'd be every other year.
Okay.
We'll advertise upon approval of this for expressions of interest, just like we do for planning commission and others. And if I may, I'd like to speak to the existing appeal that was processed through the planning commission and continued to an indefinite period of time. I haven't consulted with legal counsel yet, but as long as he's willing to, I'm working with their COO and also their CFO. And in this case, since they made their appeal under the old rules, which still would allow them to come before the county commission should they desire, I'm going to give them a choice as to whether or not they would prefer to take it to the county commission or have this appeal board ultimately rule if we can't mitigate it in the meantime.
Okay. Do you have anything on this?
I have a question on it. Dale does.
Okay, Mr. Beach.
Mr. Chairman.
I'd like somebody to clarify what I heard whenever that young man was up here talking about all these changes. My question is, if I sell my house, does it have to upgrade to the current building standards?
No.
Okay. Second question, Lanier is a big national builder. They're working in Lyon County right now, and they're advertising one-generation home, two-generation home, and three-generation homes. So they've got a home and large two mother-in-law quarters separated in there. Are we going to get to where we do that, or does everybody just have to keep coming and getting special use permits to do what our neighbors in the next county are doing now?
Dean, do you want to address that?
As I said before, and as Mr. Beach, what's happening in our country is that it's taken a different type of home because we're growing up, our kids are coming home, we're growing up, our kids are taking care of our parents, and so they can afford to live and to have a quality of life. Currently, our policy here is, and I explain it numerous times when people come in and ask about a mother's law quarters, our ordinance says if it's a detached, standalone mother-in-law quarters, they have to go through and get a special use permit. Reason why is there's a couple of things. Through state water engineer's office, they used to require a separate well, and then the state health division required a separate septic system. The state realized and changed the law a couple of years ago that says now you can, on the same well, attach it to an attached another building. Currently, the law states that any parcel of land has the right to have one well that will pump 1,850 gallons per day. And so on a single house dwelling, the average water use on a house is about 450 gallons. When you add a detached house and you start adding more and more houses, the new well requirements that allow you to do this say you have to meter that well now, and you also have to buy water rights. Currently, an individual that comes in to build a house and drills a well did not have to, they have that right without buying water rights. A subdivision or a county like Lyon County that he's referring to, every time a builder comes in and builds a subdivision, he has to have so many water rights to provide service to those houses. My policy has always been that if somebody comes in and wants to build a mother-in-law quarters or another site, if they attach it to the house, we consider that one house. And so they would have two living quarters in that. And so we always encourage them to maybe build a garage, attach one on one side of the garage and one on the other side of the garage, or have a common laundry room or something like that, and that we will permit it without a special use permit, and we look at that as one single-family house. And we also do not make them now go get a separate septic tank and go through the state requirements with extra water rights and meters. Mr. Beach knows his house was kind of set up the same way. It was one of the first ones that when he came to me, his son lives with him, and he wanted a private living quarters for his son. And so Mr. Beach's house is kind of set up in the same way. If I do not remember, his son lived on one end of the house and had everything, and him and his wife had another set on his house, too. So under the current policies and practices of Story County Building Department, we always encourage them to attach the house together, and that then we will just consider that as one house. Only when it's detached, then it requires a special use permit.
Sure. Thank you for that explanation. Anyone else?
For the record, it took me 10 years to get the assessor to decide that I didn't have a new one, so that I had
multi-generation. Okay. So at this time, looking for a motion to accept item 12 with the amendments that are in place. But go for it.
I'll second to go for it.
It's been moved and seconded to go for it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, we're going to move along now to item 13. This is discussion and possible action of the final budget hearing for fiscal year 2014 and 2015. Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the final budget approval commission meeting. For the budget for the year ended June 30th, 2015. It's been quite a process. During this process, we have had to create one more additional special revenue fund, which is our USDA fund, which accounts for all the monies that are received from Wells Fargo interim debentures, and also the grant funds from USDA, and also the appropriate payment of those funds to contractors for the completion of the new wastewater treatment plant. We have had deletions of four special revenue funds, which are the town of Gold Hill, town of Virginia City, jail fund, and indigent assistance. We have combined a special revenue fund with a departmental fund within the general fund, which is the jail fund will now will cease to exist, and all those expenditures will now be assumed by the sheriff's department. And we now have two separate local governments, which is now the 474 Fire District, and of course the Virginia City Tourism Commission. This budget process started, seems like a long, long time ago, but it was only February 1st of 2014. We basically had to go through 36 funds and 26 departments within one general fund. Over 50,000 line items were reviewed and accounted for with department heads and elected officials. We followed the rules of line item budgeting, or zero-based budgeting, and priority budgeting. During the tentative, I asked the taxpayers if they had any questions on the tentative at that point in time, and as of this published date, I have received none. I just want to address the 2016 budget preparation before we get too far down the line, which are going to include some different things. One is an attempt, a very conscious attempt, to create a five-year budget plan, understanding that with national, state, local governments, anything can change at any particular time. I think it would give a good basis, at least for us, to take a look and see where we might be 5 years from now. Pay cost allocation. There will be pay cost allocations for all special revenue funds and all enterprise funds, and this is merely taking those funds that were expended for the from the general fund, which are hopefully will be nominal, to those funds for payroll services, human resources services, voucher preparation, and budget preparation. And we will attempt to, hopefully by the end of this year or this coming fiscal year, have what you would call a property book description for each department and each department head, something similar to what I envision the military has, and where each item is described and accounted for within the department, and the department head on a yearly basis will then review that and sign off on it. I have many thanks for this. All department heads and elected officials pretty much had to go through this twice, once on the tentative, and a review after that tentative, pretty much on a line-by-line basis. I'd like to thank our clerk treasurer, Vanessa Stevens, for being a great assistance in our trying to nail down ad valorem, which has always been a constant problem because we have to wait so long for state government to give us a number. That also applies to our assessor, Janice Seddon, who is on the personal property side of this. And we, with cap rates and all of that eroding, new property for which we must account for in the next fiscal year, it makes it very, very difficult when you're trying to do that in February. And a special thanks to Jesse Fainier, who has gone through this entire process without one negative comment, and I would have been commenting a lot because of the preparation and the utter expensive time that you have to put yourself through in order to comply with what the state government demands. It is a grueling process. She has been a star on this, and as I said, with very little comment to the negative. So, thank you again. I will do this budget process in a manner which I will take the tentative, and if there was an adjustments to from that to the final, I will comment on those. Otherwise, I will signify by saying no change. First of all comes our general fund. Our revenues, we did not change that from the tentative. It still remains at $11,074,866. Commissioner Gilman had made a question before this meeting as to why I think that has such an increase. One is because of personal property taxes that have not billed as of yet for even this year, which includes new construction for next year. And the fact that all of the revenue from the Special Revenue Fund Jail Fund has now been included in the General Fund, since the General Fund is going to be paying for those expenses. So there's no change in that particular revenue field. Clerk Treasurer, they went from $331,599 of expenditure to $337,299, and that was due to additional funding for their lease on the postage machine, and an increase into their off-site storage account. It was found quite accidentally that the off-site storage account or repository that we are using currently for district court records is not in compliance with state guidelines. We now have to move that, which is now at additional cost. Our vendor, for the most part, refused to get to compliance, so we are going to actively search to see whether any or all of our outsourcing on this particular place can be better utilized. District Court, their funding of $126,100 remains the same. Genetic marker expenditures of $7,100 remains the same. Drug Court, revenues of $600 and expenditures of $9,123 are as no change. Now, I want to mention this because you'll see during some of these that the expenditures will exceed revenues that we think we are going to have. Never will we go into a negative ending fund balance, but we have enough ending fund balance to cover that. And the reason we do that is that if we have an extraordinary item that will eat up more ending fund balance than we can, that we have, then we are okay to do this. One particular point was the infrastructure fund, which we did not budget anything for this year. Consequently, we couldn't put anything through that once we had the infrastructure plan approved. So this is one of the reasons why we get out of it. The recorder, expenditures of $263,540, no change. The assessor of $363,569 is no change. Technology fund has revenue of $52,500 and expenditures of $80,000. That does not change from the tentative. Buildings and grounds, they have gone from $292,435 at a reduction of $1,000 to $391,435 due to a equipment maintenance, some analyst analysis that we did there. We had felt that we had appropriate this time to reduce that, and Mike was well aware of it and approved it. Pools and parks, $132,223, no change. Our service department went from $273,298 to $272,548. Again, we were looking at equipment maintenance. We did some analytical figuring there, and the service department agreed that they would drop their budget by $750. ROSE, a special revenue fund, as you're looking for an ending fund balance there of $668,463, that is no change. I think we need to adjourn, is that right, Mr. Whitman?
What's that?
We need to adjourn to go to the water board?
Yep.
Yes,
and I think the chair's going to take public comment.
Okay. Why don't we, at this time, we'll take any public comment on the budget to this point. Hearing none, we'll go ahead and we'll recess as the Board of County Commissioners, and we will convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the water system, we have a we have an expenses of $587,400. This is an enterprise fund. We are reducing it due to analysis of repairs within the water system. Mike Nevin saw it fit to reduce that budget by 2,000, or to reduce that budget. So he now has revenues of 587,400 and expenditures of 659,531. I was given this letter by Department of Administration, the Public Works Division, and to me was a, this is something that should not happen in state government or any government, to give us a one-day notice on final budget day to go ahead and try and find this. We will try and make our analysis to see where we need to go with this as the year progresses. If there will be a need for a water increase, that may be a recommendation, but I will call Mr. Nunez, and I would like to get a detailed accounting of what he thinks those repairs to those, to this water treatment up in Marlette Lake and Hobart Reservoir will be. And I will also, at some particular times during the year, pull the Public Works Division of the State of Nevada's budget and see where they are from the budget to actual at any one point in time. Virginia City Sewer, their budget has not changed from the tentative, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Chairman, I might add that I believe we anticipate one more year of programmatic increases in both the water and sewer side, and those have been factored even in, even though as a board, you have not yet voted to enact those.
We're going to include the USDA in water and sewer?
No, it's used cross-discipline, so no, I'd handle that outside.
Okay, very good. All right. So this time we'll take a public comment on water and sewer budget. Okay, hearing none. We'll go ahead and
USDA.
It's going on. We need approval on this, don't we?
Yes.
Okay. Look for a motion to approve the water and sewer budget.
So moved. Seconded.
Moved and seconded to approve.
Aye.
Budget.
Aye.
For the, all those. Okay. Thank you. Motion carries. All right. At this time, we're going to go ahead and adjourn as the water and sewer board. We're not going to be back to water and sewer on anything, yes, are we? We're going to adjourn as the water and sewer board, and we're going to reconvene as the Story County Board of Commissioners.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next item on the list is USDA. This is our newly created special revenue fund for the accounting of a midterm debenture, an interim debenture of $3.2 million, $3,002,000, and a USDA grant of $2,312,794 for the purpose of building a wastewater treatment plant. There was also two other items, $1.2 million of which will be for three structure engines, and $800,000 which will be for I believe three ambulances, Chief. All of this will be accounted for within this budget and then assumed by the various departments. So there remains no change in that special revenue fund. We now go to community development. Their expenditures of $493,382. There is no change. Dean still gets a new vehicle, so we will press on with that, at least trying to find some vehicle for Dean. District Attorney, they were at $501,481 in the tentative. Because of a copier lease agreement that they had, we were able to reduce by $500 their budget to $500,981. Justice Court, their expenditures of $280,798 have a no change from the tentative. Communications, we increased their budget from $743,720 to $744,220. This was due to increased fees that we were receiving from AT&T for their 911 lines.
Mr. Gallagher, I need to back up to the Justice Court Fund. Let me skip one over line.
You do justice the peace, but not the justice. Oh, he did that the last time. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Justice Court Fund. This is a, their $1,000 expenditures is a no change from the tentative.
Can we go back to communications?
Yeah. Back to communications, my apologies. We had found that looking at the AT&T bills for Dave Ballard's department, that there was an increase in 911 service fees, so we went and gave him another $500 to hopefully curtail that fee increase. The IT department, their expenditures of $443,116, no change from the tentative. Comptroller Department, $318,331, is no change from the tentative. Emergency Management, their tentative was $55,090. We reduced them by $500, and Sherry was agreed to that for operational supplies. So their budget now sits at $54,590. Emergency Mitigation, their expenditures of $45,391 remain the same as the tentative. Community Service, we have done a couple of adjustments to Community Service. Their tentative was scheduled at $592,032. We increased the senior citizens Virginia City funding by $24,000. This was due to a lot of the homebound meals that they are expanding their area for, through Mark Twain and the Highlands. We felt that this was a sufficient increase for them. And we will continue to monitor this on a month-to-month basis. The seniors also provided, or were providing, our jail with inmate meals. They have requested, or by the contract, to discontinue that service. So I met with their board of directors and said there will be, we will need some additional information to include financial statements for the months that they are in operations, and we also will develop for them some cost of goods sold requirements and accounting measures so we can figure out a true cost of the meal. So, as Sean mentioned, there is an additional health care service funding of $25,000 to see where we're going to get with the Hawk alternative. And so those two additional items were reduced by a $10,000 item for the elimination of the G-Posse line item. Their budget now remains at $631,032. There's another thing on all of these 501c3s that are coming forth and all nonprofits that are coming forth to the Community Service Department for the budget year ending 2016, or beginning. Sherry and I will be doing some additional meetings with those people to take a look at their financial situation, to take a look at what they think they will need as far as funding for the following year, and we're not sure where that presentation should be based at the tentative, which I think it should be, and also, and certainly before, to us, before they come to the commissioner. Park fund. There is no change in this budget as far as their revenues of 1,000 and their expenditures of 500. We will be, before this this fiscal year is ended, adjust the interest rate infusion into all the parks. So before June 30th, that's, there will be that infusion, which will be correctly depicted on the financial statements for June 30th, 2015. Sheriff. Sheriff budget was decreased by $30,000 from $3,255,854 to $3,255,854, and this was a reduction in what we anticipated to be the overtime costs. We went back through. We looked at the overtime that was charged for even since the 2011 sent to when the patrol staff were on 12-hour shifts. By the definition of their contract, we could only put 80 hours into their regular time. The contract depicted that we put 4 hours in overtime, although it was not overtime money. It was regular time work. So consequently, overtime was, even though they were on that 24-hour, that 84-hour shift instead of 80, the overtime was, I think, was not the correct amount that should have been. So if we are going to now depart from the 12-hour shift, then I think that those hours that were attributed to patrol, I think was probably reduced at half. I sent this information to the sheriff, and he has agreed with that. So there's a $30,000 adjustment in overtime. Understanding, as with the Chief Ames, that this is an estimate, and that if we get whatever is out there, either through significant events, accidents, investigations, whatever, this will increase. However, as we have said in the past, we certainly know what it will be. So it's just not a number that's sitting out there.
Hard, can I interject one thing here too? I do want to remind the commission that in the sheriff's office, that is our one active collective bargaining negotiation that's still ongoing. So no ramifications or factors there have yet been concluded to the point that we can give a fiscal impact number. So again, just to drive home what Mr. Gallagher said, this is an estimate based on the best that we know right now. It most certainly will change up or down depending on the outcome of the negotiations.
Correct. Thank you.
Very good.
Okay. Jail fund, as I said before, will be eliminated effective July 1st, 2015.
Very good. At this time, we'll take any public comment on these items that are brought forward. Come on up, Mr. Beach.
My interest is in the 12-hour days. The state does a lot of that. And they passed a law that said you could, at 4 hours, wouldn't be considered overtime, but Jimmy Gibbons vetoed it. Now, all of them that are on 12 hours, because my son was earning a lot of 12-hour shifts, they work four 12-hour shifts 1 week. The next week, on the short week, they work 3 days. They work 2 12s and 8. They go either go home early, 4 hours, or come later for 4 hours. So everybody's got their 80 hours in 2 week period. That's the law speaks to. And I can't imagine that my local union wouldn't agree to that in a collective bargaining agreement.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this?
For the record, Mark Joseph Phillips, 19th of May, Monday, 2014, tentative budget hearing. It looks like I got four concerns here. In regards to the park fund, I don't see any indication y'all are planning on putting more money in those funds. Been a lot of discussion, but, well, I'd like to see 5 or 10 grand is any fund balance in those funds. You know, is good faith that the money is going to be deposited in those funds this year. Reading through the tentative budget, I really wasn't happy at the list of contracts with Story County. Boy, there's a lot of contracts out there, and they weren't listed in the tentative budget. In regards to the county school fund, I still haven't heard anything yet from the school district about taking care of their lack of a resolution or a certificate to keep their own accounts. So I guess after school board meeting this week, if they haven't taken care of that, it'll be back to the superintendent of public education in Nevada, and I'll tell him I tried my best. I'd like to see the commissioners, make some effort to go down and check in with the school district, and if they're not happy with what's going on, take away the checkbooks from PEG and put them in the county treasurer. Last but not least, it came up at the VCTC meeting. The VCTC thinks they have a lawyer, but the commissioners have never agreed that our district attorney should represent VCTC. There's nothing in statute that requires that. If they ask, that's one thing, but for now, I consider VCTC without legal counsel. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other? Gunther, come on up.
For the record, my name is Gunther Prosser from the River District, and I too have concerns with the park funds. After the counting of the building permits, we were told that we'd be told what the final total was that would be allocated to each park, and we still don't have that final total. If they could get that in before the final budget so that we know what we could use to spend towards the park this year, that would be greatly appreciated.
It won't be before the final budget, because this is the final budget today.
Okay.
But it will be done, as the district attorney pointed out. It'll be done.
Because when we decided to count these building permits and you've gone through that procedure, we were told that we'd be told what the final is, so we can move forward.
And you will.
Thank you very much.
It's forthwith, yeah. Thank you. Okay. Any other? Ms. Bart? You'll have to come up to the podium. Identify yourself, please.
Nicole Bart, Highlands resident. I have a comment on the entire budget. Do I do it now? When do I do it?
You can do it now. You can do it at the end. We're going on the items from water and sewer to this point now. This is the comment period.
Okay. I don't have any comments on the fire or anything else. However, two things. One, where's the list of infrastructure projects that have been prioritized?
Well, I don't know. We handed it out a couple of times in the previous meetings.
What was handed out was a very long list.
Right.
Adding up to, $42 million? I don't know what it was. And I had asked...
$7 million, I think it was.
Okay. It will take us 42 years. 42 sticks in my brain. I had asked several times, how are you going to pick what gets done first? And I was told several times, including by you, Lance, that the prioritization of the projects on that list would happen as part of the final budget, and that we would see what that prioritization is. So I'm asking, where is it?
I'm not familiar with the conversation that you had with Commissioner Gilman on that.
It was in public here, and it's in the minutes, so I
think which was that stated at the prior meetings is that we put a list out there. We don't have 1 through 10 on there because we don't know if a grant will come in that will go ahead and take place, will supersede where an item might be that's going to come out of the general revenues. We never know exactly what, and then okay, some things are low-hanging fruit that are easy to accomplish at small amounts of money. Hmm. Other items that are extremely expensive are going to have to go through either a grant or loan process, or it's going to have to be where we have to save up a whole bunch of money to do those projects.
Okay. So what I was told twice.
Explain it exactly the same way today as it's been explained in the past.
No, what I was told in the past, and again it's in the minutes, is that the list would be prioritized with input from the staff and that it would be part of the final budget. But fine, really? It didn't get done. Yeah. The second comment I have is that, first of all, I'm very happy to hear that you're going to be doing a 5-year budget plan. That's great. I mean, our projections, they always change, so that's wonderful. I see improvement in this process. I'm happy about that as well. However, if you're going to be publishing the budget to the public, ostensibly it's for the public to be able to read it, to analyze it, to do some comparisons in order to form opinions and questions to come in here and speak to you about. The format that is being put on the website does not lend it. First of all, it's not complete, the summary format, and it doesn't lend itself to the ability to analyze it. What you submit to the state, however, is much better formatted, and it does the adding, you know, the calculations and the tabulations that would be required otherwise if you wind up doing it at home. So all I could do was use that summary page that got put on the budget. I want to hand out to you some analysis that I have done. I don't know if the budget that we're passing is good or bad. I don't know if the budget that we're passing is demonstrating that we're having fiscal restraint and control over our funds. I don't know if the budget is showing that we are effective and efficient as an operation. So this is just based on the numbers that are on the summary sheet. Fire isn't on that summary sheet. Roads are not on that summary sheet. So this is just based on that. The kinds of things that I as a citizen would like to see so that I can judge how well we as a county are doing in our money is we rarely see what the head count is. So I did a tabulation of from 2012 to 2015 looking at our full-time and our what's called an intermittent part-time head count total. I got these numbers from Austin, so they're accurate because they're from him. I then have to calculate a full-time equivalent. We have been increasing headcount year over year, 15% over 2012, 26% over 2013, and going to be increasing headcount by 12% over 2014. And this makes me wonder and ask the question, what is driving the headcount change? Are we getting, you know, is it for better and faster and more services? I don't understand why the headcount is increasing. Going down to revenues, and again, I'm just going off the summary sheet. The change in revenues.
I interrupt you for a moment, Ms. Bart. Uh-huh. Can we work on particulars of the budget? I mean, you're getting out there with a lot of, you're throwing a lot of minutiae out there.
I asked if I could make a comment on the total budget.
Can we work on the specific items? Otherwise, we could wait till the end under public comment.
That's why I was asking. Well, comment on the entire budget.
We went from the end of the fire budget to this point, we're going to talk about those items
okay.
on the budget.
Then I'll come back with this
okay.
at public comment. All that's right. why I asked the question. Can I do
because
I
because otherwise, you know, otherwise we're going to be here all afternoon.
No, this won't take very long, but I'll wait until
okay,
public
very
comment.
All right. Any other comments on this part of the budget? Okay. At this time, we're going to go ahead and we are going to recess as the Board of County Commissioners, and we're going to convene as the 474 Fire Protection District Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Gallagher.
The 474 Fire District has a combination of the 474 fire, or a combination of the old 473 Fire District and the Wildland Fire, which is normally called NDF. Their revenues, their combined revenues, are going to be $3,092,260. Their expenditures are going to be $4,040,348. They have a consolidated ending fund balance of about $378,000. The difference between, there was a difference between the tentative and the fire, and a difference between the tentative and the final, and that is the addition of a new fire, I think, life safety officer. And that would be the increase there. Fire Emergency Fund remains at a $204,337 ending fund balance. We anticipate no change there. Mutual aid, which is, which accounts for all of those expenditures outside the county for which the chief has been requested to support various fires, obviously the RIMS fire last year and whatever. In order to get a proper accounting of that, because we do charge for those services, we charge BLM for those, then we put those, separate those costs of his crews, his equipment, his supplies, and we separate that from the normal course of what their operations are within this county, and we set that as a reserve for conditions of which the fire chief may deem necessary, whether it's equipment costs that he may incur, equipment maintenance costs that he may incur during this period. So there will be no change in that fund either, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I might add, I'm going to attempt to field one of Ms. Bart's questions because I think specifically fire is a reason for one of these numbers. First off, I'm only having time to digest the FTE headcounts here, and while I'm to understand that they apparently came internal from us, I don't know the validity of any one of those numbers, but I would suggest to you we have increased our reliance on intermittent part-time and our classifications of those folks. In fact, one of those is the integration of the seasonal wildfire operations in the current budget year, 2014. That would, in large part, explain the increase from 10 to 20, if indeed 10 is the correct number, or 20. Because we put 11 seasonal firefighters into that program, plus four more that were funded under the large grant that has been repeatedly referred to. I can't think of any reason why we would have gone from 20 to 50 fireside or any other while we rely on intermittent part-timers, because it is a significant cost savings to our operation, both in terms of PERS and medical benefits and everything. I can't speak to that. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you for your explanation. All right, at this time we'll take public comment on the 474 Fire Protection District budget. Hearing none, call for question. Motion?
Motion to approve the 474 budget.
Second.
Been moved and second to approve the 474 final budget. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Very good. Okay. At this time, we will
take item 20, Mr. Chairman.
Right. We're going to go ahead and excuse me. We're going to adjourn as a 474, and then we're going to reconvene.
No.
No?
Stay in the fire because you're going to adopt the fire code.
Oh, okay. Pardon me. Mr. Morris, okay. Pardon me.
Good morning, Board of Fire Commissioners. As you're sitting as the Board of Fire Commissioners, we'd like to take this opportunity to have you approve, pursuant to NRS 474-470, which It gives the duty of the fire board to adopt regulations for the fire district to follow. Since you, as the Board of County Commissioners, have adopted the ordinance approving the International Fire Code with specific appendixes and amendments, and their International Wildland Urban Interface Code amendments, we would ask that you go ahead and approve those as the regulations of the fire district. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions, Mr. Chevagan?
No.
We already went over this.
I really tickle pink to do this.
Is there any public comment on this? Hearing none. A motion?
I will make a motion to approve the 2012 IFC with listed appendices and amendments and in specific parts of the 2012 International Wild and Urban Interface Code amendments in section 15.04.080 as regulations for the fire district.
No second.
Very good. It's been moved to second to approve the 2012 International Fire Code dependencies BCD with amendments in section 15-04-02, 2012.
Aye.
Etc. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And motion is carried. Okay, at this time we can adjourn as the 474 Fire Protection District Board, and we will reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Gallagher, please.
Next item on the list is equipment acquisition. This is a special revenue fund that is used for purchasing of items for our roads and our 474 Fire District. We are hopeful that the $2 million for which is needed for fire apparatus and ambulances for Chief Haynes will be enough to pay for this through this fund for the upcoming year. And there will be no change in that budget requirement. Next on the item is commissioners. Commissioners had a budget of $564,219. There is no change from that, from the tentative to this, to the final. Administration went a decrease from $4,319,503 to $4,240,921. This is due greatly to a reduction or elimination of a life safety prevention officer, his salary and benefits of about $88,000, which now is going to be incurred by the fire chief, and an additional obligation to include the G Posse lease payment of $10,000. Health services, their expenditures of $73,660 is a no change from the tentative. Planning department, $177,928. Again, no change from the tentative. Indigent medicals, expenses of $174,240. Again, no change from the tentative. Indigent accident, expenditures of $15,164. No change from the tentative. CAP projects. Their ending fund balance will remain the same as the tentative, $350,803, understanding that there has been an infusion from the general fund to CAP projects in the amount of $2.5 million to cover those projects either not classified for under the terms of infrastructure, and those funds that are have been earmarked, and that's part of that. Some of the $427,000, but additional funds that we will continue to do to for capital projects. So an additional infusion of $2.5 million. Infrastructure. There will be, again, that their ending fund balance will remain at $111,796. That will not change from the tentative. And again, that list, when Mr. Morris has told me, or at least announced to me, that the resolution and all of the things that are in effect are in agreement, that we can move forward, then that list will be adopted. Stabilization remains, that ending fund balance remains at 800,000. That is no change from the tentative. The tri-payback, their ending fund balance of 1,777,894 is a no change from the tentative, understanding that this is strictly a avenue, a special revenue fund that we can use to accept all of those revenues that are appropriate to our public-private partner, and also all those expenditures that are attributed to the park. The VC Rail Project, their ending fund balance of $385,440 remains the same as the tentative. And, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, I'd like, there was a meeting last Thursday between Commissioner Shovagan and the VC Rail Board. And would you like to comment on that, by any chance?
Regarding
your meeting with the VC Rail Board?
Well, I can tell you that at our meeting last week, we are apparently still at odds with their figures on what they owe us on that 0.25%. I believe your figures to be corrected about 960,000. And that's been confirmed by taxation. They still claim that that amount is somewhere in the neighborhood of $300,000. They're about $600,000 at odds. So I think we need to get a little something going on that. So I've asked the treasurer down there, Mr. Allen, to get with you and taxation, see if we can't get that figured out. That's way too much of a difference of money on that, and that's gone on for quite a while. We've known about that ever since I went on that board, and of course the important thing is that I think that we realize that we're not going to see that in one big lump sum because it put the VNT completely out of business. So, but we need to get to where we can agree on that amount of money so that they know that eventually we're going to start drawing that down and but we can't shut the whole operation down either.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, we do, or Mr. Commissioner Chauvin, excuse me, we do intend this fiscal year to go ahead and bill out $25,000, less a small amount that Mr. Gallagher has already billed out to the Rail Commission this year for ongoing improvements at the Gold Hill Depot.
Yeah.
And then as we go through the next fiscal year, we have been allocated, at least in their tentative budget, $75,000, as you're aware.
Yeah. So. I think we're good up to maybe, I believe we asked them for not more than $100,000, so. We'll be okay on our projects on this end. And if we end up selling that Draco Way, Mike Rowe, the attorney for the commission, just got the appraisal updated at $750,000 on that land down there. So that should be going up for sale here pretty quick. And right now I talked with Steve Lincoln in Carson City, he's a realtor down there. And he said that's probably going to move pretty quickly. He said industrial is starting to move down there. So we could actually get, if that goes, we could get the whole sum back But I think we need to take another look at the way that whole document is written, and it's a little confusing. I think that maybe started some of the confusion in the first place, how that money is done on that. But we could take that offline and discuss that a little more.
Thank you, Commissioner Sevagin. So again, there is no change in the ending fund balance for the BC Railroad project. Federal grants will remain at $508,262. That's a number that we believe we will be able to get this upcoming year. And of course, our contingency will remain at $312,324,000. Mr. Chairman, this concludes my final budget report for fiscal year ended June 30th, 2016.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Before we take public comment on these items and this last portion of the general fund, we're going to take a little 10-minute recess.
Oh, okay. Boy. I love that.